Hello, we are back. Zlotcast is live, ready to be consumed. I'm Jeremy, at JB Baron on Twitter. Our four-man panel this evening includes Mr. Cole Patty.
Hello.
At Ball Hogba on the Twitter machine. And two newbies, Ben Wolfson to my left. At Buckets Don't Lie on the Twitters, and a very special guest, Zito Madu, at underscore Zeets on Twitter. Oof. The past hour, we've just been
talking fat footballers.
We've run the gamut.
Neymar's Instagram and fat footballers.
And Benzema just skipping off to Dubai for like 12 hours, you know?
In between training sessions.
You would, and... man, we've had a lot of stuff going on. The transfer window finally closed. How about that?
It was... I mean, it was probably the most exciting deadline day in a couple windows. Definitely one of the most exciting I've remembered.
It was up there.
I mean, Saito
Berrino didn't get done.
Yeah, I mean, Saito Berrino was like a side story by the end of it, and most transfer windows, that probably would have been the big news of the day, is he gets held captive by West Brom.
They're holding him hostage, man. And like, people were comparing this to the Raheem Sterling situation. And like, what? No.
No.
This is infinitely worse, bruh.
You just can't be upset with where you work at, with your job. Like, if you want to leave, it doesn't matter if you're a professional footballer and you're making a lot of money. If you want to leave your job, most people get the ability to leave and go somewhere else. And apparently he doesn't get that right. I don't know.
Jeremy, war and peace, holding him back. He remains a baggy, although he said he's retiring.
He tweeted an Instagram a photo of him jetting off today.
It's a very upsetting situation, I would say. Whew, but that wasn't even the biggest story, man. That wasn't
the biggest story
on deadline day.
It's
never a dull deadline when Real Madrid decide to get involved.
Or Manchester United.
Oh, Manchester United. Do we talk about De Gea first, Martial? I mean, what do we do here, man?
What are you doing,
Ed Woodward? Thank you, Ed Woodward, for this gift you have given us.
They need to make a being Liverpool with being Manchester United, or it just follows Ed Woodward around.
Just follow Ed around.
If here's my Tonka trucks, I like them. Here's my transfers. I try to keep putting the circle block in the square block, but it just doesn't seem to work. Also, what do you think of Anthony Martial? I've seen him play one time.
I saw him demolish Arsenal in the Champions League.
Did he Van Hall saw him play like 30 some times, he said? Which I don't even know if he's played 30 times with the first team.
He played and he completed 90 minutes just 5 times.
And apparently Van Hall was there 60% of the time.
And that is worth 80 million euros.
But I mean, with Martial, I mean, it was pretty much at that point, him or play Rooney.
And Rooney's just, he had the hat trick.
Yeah, they had to do something.
Hey, Rooney's back. He scored goals against Bruges.
Club Bruges. I mean, could Ed Woodward have done a better job of, working well before the deadline? Yeah, but the striker market was pretty barren the entire time.
We have a couple pieces on Martial up on the blog at everydayslotsonday.com. And I was listening to Philippe Auclair this morning. He said about all the add-ons. I want to talk about the add-ons to this. It's 10 million if he gets, I think, 10 caps for the national
French
team.
French team. Yep.
French team. Yep. Which he was just called up to. Mm-hmm.
And it's 10 if he has 25 Premier League appearances, right?
That was it. That was 10 if he has 25 Prem appearances. And the final 10, which brings the add-ons to 30 million, is if he finishes top 20 in the Ballon d'Or voting.
That just seems like such an absurd, like, okay, 10 appearances for France, 25 in the league. And then all of a sudden they just skip to the Ballon d'Or.
I thought there was a goal-related one, too.
Baby steps, man. Baby steps. He's still a teenager.
Yeah, he's never getting that other 10 million. It's just a bunch of money they didn't want to pay now. Like, the first one for the France call-up, if it's like, how many appearances? Like, 10 appearances?
Mm-hmm.
You look at how many games they play a year, and it's like internationals don't happen that often.
Yeah.
At most, they play like 3 games or like 3 to 4 games within a year. And, you know, Euros are coming up, and he's probably not going to get picked for the Euro team. So it's going to be like 2 or 3 years before they get that $10
million. It won't be worth anything by then.
And I'm pretty sure United can get $10 million in 2 or 3 years.
They wiped their butt with $10 million.
They could have paid that $50 million right then and there.
Yeah. Just ran them a personal check.
Exactly.
$10 million by the time they get, that's going to not even buy you, like, Fernando Torres in 2020. Golden Boy, or is the top scorer in the Prem. It goes literally from French appearances and Premier League appearances
to 25. Oh, you're getting to finish top 20, bro.
Hey, you gotta get
$10 million isn't going to Monaco.
You gotta have ambition, man.
But it is at least $50 million, which is almost as many appearances as he's made for Monaco.
It'd be funny if he did win the Ballon d'Or and United gave him the $10 million just because Monaco would feel too bad. It's like, oh, here's another $10 million. Thanks for the best player in the world.
Vasilyev's just is like, it's raining money! It's raining money!
Dude, they're so rich over there, though. Like, their owner is so filthy rich. He's the one.
How much
did
they rake in this summer?
I remember, like, the funny thing was that I think it was, like, 2 summers ago when they bought everybody. When they literally, when they bought James, they bought Berbatov, they bought
Falco.
Yeah, they had everybody, and then they got all the fans and all the season tickets and everything, and they just slowly just sold everybody away.
Divorce will do that to you.
Yeah, he gets a divorce. He only has half of his money now, but for whatever reason, he can still live in Monaco and own a football club. It's so I'm sure he's doing it well.
Millions of dollars.
He's tax-free in Monaco, so it's like, the guy's filthy rich. If I lose half of my money and I'm still over there like owning a football team and being able to spend millions whenever I want, I'm filthy rich, and I don't even care about that other half now. Yeah. I mean, I would like it back.
I love making the joke about how when they sell players, I'm like, so does the wife get half? Was the wife happy you sold Martial?
She got Falco and James.
Yeah, she got half of the Hamas fee, I'm pretty sure. So, she's living the best job on earth. Her husband sells off football players, and she gets like $40 million each time.
Keep selling, Monaco, keep selling. Let's go. Transfer window never closes.
What I found was interesting, though, with Monaco and, you know, Porto has been doing it for a longer time, is it's almost like this, like, new club is coming out that's just pretty much like, let's buy all these really young players and see if we can screw over the big clubs for their money.
Yeah, man. Porto are the kings of this. Benfica are really good at this, too. They've done this forever.
Yeah, because
Porto's made more money off their kids than anyone.
Yeah, if you know you're not gonna, they're never gonna be able to challenge like Manchester City or like Bayern at this point. So why not just get as much money as you can? Because they're gonna come looking for the players anyway. Like all they do is go like Portugal or go to Ajax, and they're just sitting there like, okay, who do you have this year? It's literally like a fashion spin where, okay, our fall season of players, you have Christian Eriksen, you have blah blah blah, and then what you try to do is like, it's like selling Yeezys to somebody. It's like $3,500 for this. Like, dude, I know Eriksen costs a good $300 on the regular market, but you got to pay for it if you want it.
Here's a brochure. This is what we have this year. Is there anything you like?
We have one. We have one. Davy Klaassen this year. Anyone interested?
Anyone?
20 million. Starting the bidding at 20 million.
Exactly. Like, I don't know, man. I think Byron were trying to buy him for 25. I don't know if I can sell it to you for 20 million.
And if you flip to page 7, you'll see a very lightly used Anwar El Ghazi.
Like, maybe if we could get to 22.5. Is that okay? Like, let's add some add-ons to that.
Porto makes one quarterfinal Champions League run, and they literally sold off 8 players from their starting 11. Like,
and they're still going to win their league. That's just insane.
Them or Benfica. Benfica's doing this too, though. They just bought this 19-year-old from Brazil that was a part of that Neymar deal a long time ago. Like, it was Neymar plus 3 other guys. He was one of those 3. And they were just like, oh, if Barcelona might want him now, maybe they'll want him in 3 years, and they just bought this kid.
Dude, Shakhtar.
Give him 3 years.
Yeah.
Yep, Shakhtar.
They're losing their guys, though.
On Brazilians. Like, like 90% of their team is, like, young Brazilian players. Yeah.
And then they have that one Croatian guy who's made, like, 500 appearances for them.
Hey, you got to keep it real.
I think he's their captain, actually. Serna.
Yep, he's pretty good. Going to be stuck in Shakhtar his whole life, but, you know.
Unfortunate. So when their offices got bombed, and I was like, I think you guys should let these players go home. Like, your main offices just got bombed. That, like, I don't know. Maybe you should let them go back to Brazil. Like, we forbid the players
or,
to
or let, let Douglas Costa flourish in Munich.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird. I'm
never going back.
No.
It's going to be weird being Serna and making new friends each time they buy a new group of Brazilians and then just watching all your friends get sold off. And it's like, well, I'm still here, but there's now even more 18-year-olds.
Dude, never love. That's the only truth to this. Dude, it's like Steven Gerrard in Liverpool, because, like, it was so funny to me. Like, I used to tell people, anybody Steven Gerrard gets really close to, watch Liverpool sell him. And it was like he used to talk about Xabi Alonso like that was his wife. Like, him and Xabi Alonso were so close. And it's like, he proclaimed how much he loved him. He gave an interview of how integral he was to Liverpool. And then next year, it's like, oh, Xabi Alonso sold to Real Madrid. And I was like, okay, sure. And then he fell in love with Torres. And it was like, Torres is going to Chelsea. And then he fell in love with Suarez. And it's like, Suarez to Barcelona.
At that point, it's like Balotelli wants all of him. And he's like, nah, man. No. I want nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just let Jordan Henderson take the penalties. Go away and let him take the penalties.
Oh. So do we get on De Gea talking about love?
This guy.
Because he might not love Real anymore.
This freaking guy, man. Florentino was on Spanish radio today. He had talked at length about how Manchester United's inexperience in the transfer market led to this deal not being consummated.
Because it's like very
Edward was just playing with his Honka trucks.
Edward. I'm...
Was it so?
How do you say United are unexperienced in the transfer market?
Well, they did just pay $50 million for a 19-year-old. So
that's true. I thought it was funny how I think it was Sid Lowe brought up that Real Madrid appeal everything. Like, anytime they're upset, they appeal something. And they keep making noise about this, but they're not appealing. So it's almost like they're trying to make a big show. Yeah. We actually have a question about the De Gea thing. And who is really at fault for the De Gea situation? And who's more hurt in the short and long term?
Who's more hurt by this?
They're both at fault.
Can I go with neither?
Both slash neither?
Seriously, Real still have Keylor Navas, who's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And who, honestly, I might rate over De Gea.
No.
That's a little strong, but... I'll let you cook.
Yeah, it's a free country.
Man, Keylor is really, really good. Like, not like Real Madrid losing anything here.
His save, he had this save in the first half on Saturday against Betis. I was just like, he was completely out of position on the ground, and he just jumped and swallowed up the ball. Granted, it was against Real Betis, but it was just like...
Man's don't just playing for a job.
Yeah.
It's like when your boss tells you that you're on your last chance, and you just start overworking everything.
You churn out spreadsheets in 3 seconds.
You start asking if there's anything else you can do.
I mean, I guess who's more hurt depends on whether or not De Gea signs a contract.
He signs that renewal that Mendes is trying to get him to sign.
Because if he leaves for free, I mean, it's obviously Manchester.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote about it, actually. Like, I think I wrote about it today or yesterday, and it just came out today about, like, it's not the clubs who are most hurt about it. It's the players. It's like,
yeah,
it's Navas and it's De Gea whose lives were put on, like, whose lives were toyed with. And because you had De Gea, he was in Spain already. He was with his family during the time. And Navas, they had him chain him by himself.
Yeah.
They had him ready to go to Manchester. They had him and his wife.
So now you have Navas, who knows that the club doesn't want him. Like, literally, this is the best way to tell him that we really don't want you here. We want De Gea more than anybody. And now you have De Gea, who's angry at not only Real Madrid for messing up, but Manchester United for, like, toying with his future. Because he's been trying to go to Real Madrid forever. And at first it was like hey, he can't really go there because Iker Casillas is there. You know, if Casillas is there, that's the biggest obstacle there. And then Casillas leaves, and it's like, okay, everybody knows De Gea is going to Real Madrid. It's just a matter of when.
I mean, Casillas too, because he could have probably stayed another year.
Yeah. So it's like...
they cleared him for it.
So at the end of it, it's like the players now, De Gea has to go back to a team that he doesn't really want to play for. But now he has no choice. And Navas has to go back to a team that doesn't really want him. But now they have no choice.
That's my feeling with the Real thing.
Real spent 2 hours with him yesterday trying to, like, calm him down. And they're going to offer him more money now. They're going to give him a renewal.
It's like your boss telling you you're fired. And they're coming back to you. Like, it's not even that they told you you're fired. You're like, we've replaced you. We don't really want you here. And then all of a sudden, the replacement, like, bails out. And they're like, hey,
about that.
How do you feel about Monday?
An hour.
And you can't even say no because you need the job.
That's how I feel about the Berahino situation, though. Like, he clearly doesn't want to be at West Brom. And
yeah, you can't force the guy to play for you if he doesn't want to play for you.
Right. That's why it's way worse than the Raheem situation.
Yeah, because
Liverpool gets money.
Yeah, and now he has to actually stay there till January. The whole retirement thing, I guess that works out for him. I mean, Carlos
Vicente playing shuffleboard.
And played golf. But, yeah, Berahino he was sitting there, and I'm pretty sure he thought he was going to Tottenham. After like
they made four bids for him.
Yeah. Four bids. And one was like 25 million.
$25 million.
I love Berahino, but he's not worth 25
million. He's not that good.
He could be worth 25 million because you're paying for potential.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
But yeah, like $25 million is a great price for a young striker who hasn't done that much, but who could be good in the future. He's not gonna be good at West Brom. Like, he's playing with West Brom players.
He's playing with Charlie Gardner.
He's gonna score at most 10-12 goals a season at West Brom because you're at West Brom. Like, that's who you are. You're at West Brom's level. You're getting West Brom service.
It's pretty much your company telling you to put your life on hold for 4 months. Yeah.
And then they're saying that the bids have messed with his head, and they're trying to protect him. You're not trying to protect him. Like, you're trying to keep a player from chasing his dreams at this point
and progressing his career. And I mean,
you're holding him hostage.
And for whatever reason, people think like footballers are the only, and athletes in general are the only exception to where they should just grin and bear it.
Well, because you always think athletes, since they're quote-unquote, grossly overpaid, that they should just be happy to be making money.
Right. You know,
and it's like, even CEOs of companies who make millions every time. And it's
I made that exact point.
Yeah, like, you see CEOs leaving when I can't find good family work-life balance. I'm gonna go find myself for 10 months and then return to create my own company. And yep. All these players really want is like, hey, another company is calling for me, a company with a better situation, more money, and every single one of us would take that opportunity every time.
Of course.
Yeah. Man, it's crazy.
I think, because, I mean, if he, theoretically, if Berahino is not playing until the January transfer window,
like, it's going to hurt them.
His stock's going to go to, like, £25 million bid, that's way more than anyone really expected to get for him. It's like Spurs could just lowball him now.
Yeah, they could just say, we don't want him anymore.
$10 million.
Dude, if they say they don't want Berahino anymore, he doesn't want to play for West Brom, so now you have a player who nobody wants and who doesn't want to play for you, but you're paying him all that money.
He's their only real good asset anyway. I mean, it's West Brom. Like, no one is.
They just got Johnny Evans. Come on.
Johnny Evans.
You're West Brom. You have to know who you are. Like, if Real Madrid or Barcelona comes to Arsenal for one of our players, and people always get upset about this, and I'm like, it's Barcelona. It's Real Madrid. Like, dude, they're better than us. let's think about this.
We're not
going to the Champions League.
Hey, Arsenal, this is...
Like, Arsenal more than life itself, but... You have to be honest with yourself. I'm not going out there with Milan right now saying, hey, Milan should be getting all these world-class players. I know where we're at, and I know what Arsenal is at. When RVP left and he was going to Manchester United, my only problem was don't write the letter because that was an asshole move. But, dude, you're going to Manchester United. They're paying you, like, $250,000 a week. Like, I'm never going to tell another man to make less money and be unhappy.
Go get your
Premier League title because we're not going to give it to you.
Yep. There is a question on De Gea and Berahino. Which one was bungled worse?
I think the De Gea situation was funnier. And nobody's taking blame for it.
Both sides released statements blaming the other with their own artificial timelines.
Dude, it's literally like the most childish thing I've ever seen. It's your fault. No, it's your fault.
I'm going to go the other way because I think whether it's January or the next summer, this De Gea deal is going to get done. Manchester United probably gets their money. It sucks for David, but, I mean, with Berahino, like you said, if he doesn't play for West Brom, they're going to lose out on a lot of money, and it could just end up being... He leaves for free, and I don't think anyone would bat an eye because he's not of the level of De Gea at this point.
Yeah, well, no one would bat an eye for West Brom. No one feel bad for them.
No, I'm not going to feel bad for him.
No.
Fucking West Brom.
Absolutely not.
Why are they being, like, what are they doing? You're West Brom.
Yeah, this is the most they'll be in the news all year is this deal.
But Arsenal... Didn't buy an outfield player.
Only team in one of the top six leagues not to do that.
Yep, the only team. I've got theories, but... Zeno, what do you think? Since you're an Arsenal fan.
Dude, I like went on a little mini rant about this earlier. It's something that I think most Arsenal fans know deep inside. But like at this point, we're, how do I say this without being mean? Mediocre.
Yeah.
Like we've accepted our mediocrity at this point. It's like, okay, you go and buy Ozil, you buy Sanchez. Why aren't you buying players at their same level or to support them? It's no point in having a player like Ozil if you don't have a good finisher. Because, there was a graph that showed how many chances he's created and how many chances were finished. And it's like, it was like something astronomical for chances created. And
oh, it was
20 finished. And that's stupid. You watch him for Real Madrid, and he looks a completely different player. He's like, this dude is sending assists like it was nothing. He's serving up back heel assists. He's doing one-touch layoffs. And it's like, okay.
He was doing that in like 65 minutes a game because he was subbed out at Real.
But it's like,
he'll go off with like two assists.
You know Benzema's going to finish that. You know Ronaldo's going to finish that. Even the midfielders are going to finish it. He lays it off of Giroud, he skies it. Okay? He lays it off. Even Sanchez skies it. He lays it off for Theo. Theo breaks his knee on the way to sky. But what the point where Arsenal, and we have to, it's one or two things. It's either that we have the money to spend and we can buy better players, and we just don't do it, which means that the club is just only concerned about really making money and making a Champions League, or that we don't have the money and resources, and we're just lying to the people that we can compete. Because you can find a better defensive midfielder than Francis Coquelin. Like, literally. And Cazorla's 31.
Khedira left on a free.
Yeah, and Cazorla's 31 now. And it's like, Jack Wilshere's always injured. He's going to be consistently injured for the rest of his life. And so you have Aaron Ramsey, who is our best midfielder, doing all the midfield work by himself. Like, I love Santi, but he's old and he's fat.
And he's tiny.
He's so tiny.
Like, he's really, really good if he's a number 10. Because he's, two-footed, he can do everything. But if you have him playing as deep-line playmaker, and you have Francis next to him, any dynamic player who comes through there, and we're in trouble. Because Mertesacker is slow. Koscielny kind of dives into tackle still. And, like, we always wonder, why is our defense always kind of bad? And I was talking to Graham about this. It's like, if you have a good defensive midfielder, your defenders can play. Like, when Yaya Toure and Fernandinho had their worst year, all of a sudden, Vincent Kompany and Manchester City's defense just crumbles. And now that Matic is literally having the worst year of his career, now it's like, well, what happened to the Chelsea defense? If you don't have a screen, players are just going to run right through there. And then all of a sudden, your defense is going to have to step into the midfield. And if you have Per Mertesacker stepping into midfield at that speed, they're going to kill us. So it's like, you can find better players than Nacho Monreal. You can find a better defender Per Mertesacker. He keeps saying, we're looking for super quality. We're looking for super quality. We'll strengthen if there's players available. I'm like, dude, you bought Park Chu-young.
And Andre Santos.
You bought Park Chu-young, Andre Santos. And you're paying Flamini good money.
Flamini.
And Mikel Arteta good money. That is not super quality. Like, Giroud isn't super quality. The only super quality players that we have are Ozil, Ramsey, and Sanchez.
Yeah.
Check now, but
and better
for those
check,
two
yeah.
games when he lost his mind, and I was like, okay. Yes, he was back.
And Chesney's playing well at Roma.
Yeah, but it's like, you can't sit there and say you're only looking for a certain quality of players when most of our players are below or below Premier League champion quality.
No.
And you can't complain about the market price because it's only going to go up. Like, yeah. You can't sit there and say everybody's overpaying for players. Like, someday it's just going to die down, like sometime in the near future. Because Premier League is getting more money now. So De Bruyne is going to cost $100 million next year or like 2 years from now. And then we're going to be sitting here with our fingers crossed like, hey, everybody's just overpaying. And we're just going to go to Portugal and pick out this terrible, terrible player who's going to play, and then everybody's going to hate. Like, dude,
Or like, go to Marseille and find some dude for $10
million. Yeah. Yeah,
and then he comes, he scores a couple of goals. We think he's going to be good, and then he's not.
Do you think it's a Wenger problem?
Yeah.
Do you think it's
I think it's
a Wenger problem,
I think it's 100%, like, Wenger obviously built, like, great teams in the late 90s and early 2000s, but that was before all the money flooded in with, like, Abramovich and stuff, and he still has that, like,
he's still trying to build teams the
mentality,
same way.
And it's like, congrats, like, you lucked into getting Cesc Fabregas when he was 16, but it's like, you can't really do that anymore if you want to be competing for league titles. You don't have the time to waste on these young kids. It's
but
like,
we have Gideon now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who is doing like, pretty well at Rangers, actually.
Never forget Fran Morita, dog.
We were talking about this the other day. We have Ozil and we have Alexis, but at the same time, they're from the two biggest clubs in the world, but they were pretty much forced out because they were deemed surplus to requirement, and Arsenal were literally just lucky enough to be able to afford them and be like, oh, I can live in London, and I guess Arsenal are in Champions League. Like, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's like,
Cech's the same way. Cech was unwanted.
He was surplus, and he wanted to stay in London. That's the only reason he's on Arsenal. Like, it's like
I don't understand why Arsenal and other teams don't just wait outside of Real Madrid's doors, like, every year.
Yeah.
Like, Real Madrid will buy some of the best players
and
then just toss them out.
Just toss us.
Who are you getting rid of this year?
Dude,
it's like a garage sale. It's like a
garage sale. Like, if you want quality players that can help you win the league and go far in the Champions, I would just literally be with Perez every transfer window. Like, hey, heard this. Which player don't you like?
You know Wenger would be at a garage sale, though. Like, see the 50-cent sticker. He's like, you put the wrong sticker on that, right?
He'll sit there complaining, like, man, garage sales aren't what they used to be. Everything's so expensive now. Like, dude, Arsenal is literally one of the most popular teams in the world. And we make so much money now.
Yep.
And we just
still not buying.
Dude, you know what really made me angry? The one that really pissed me off, and that's when I really realized that we were just full of shit, is when Morgan Schneiderlin, we bid for him last year, and Southampton didn't want to sell. And like, they didn't want to sell, sure, but Schneiderlin wanted to leave. He wanted to leave really badly. If we had upped the bid, you could have forced them to sell.
Yeah.
Like, you could have...
This year,
Southampton is like, okay, we'll let you leave. And we just sit there and we don't even bid for him. And we let Manchester United take him, what was it, like $25
million? Yeah.
You lost to Woodward.
We lost to a man who paid $50 million for Anthony Martial.
Because Wenger thought he couldn't pass well enough or something.
We have Francis Coughlin as our... Like, look, I like him when we're actually playing, like, good... Like, the game we played against Manchester City, his best game, if we play compact, he's not forced to do something that he can't do, which is watch the space behind him or, like, pass forward all the time. But we don't play compact. We leave a bunch of space behind us, just like Barcelona do, except Barcelona have Sergio Busquets, who is the best defensive midfielder in the world. And we have Charlton last year. So it's like, you can't sit there and put him at a disadvantage. He's not that good. And then also not that he's not that good. You're putting him at a disadvantage because you're exposing his weaknesses by the way we play. And you won't replace him.
You want to...
Put Arteta back there? Arteta doesn't even have legs. Or you're going to put Flamini, who doesn't have a brain. Like, if we put all three of them together, we could form a really good defensive midfielder. But all of them separate are, like, body parts. Like, Arteta has a brain, but he can't run.
It's the island of misfit midfielders.
Yeah. Yeah, Flamini doesn't have a brain, and he can't run. Carlin has all the legs in the world, but he's not that smart.
Not yet, at least.
Yeah, and they had the. It was a funny, like, 30-second video that they had of his, like, his highlights. And one of my Twitter friends, like, he tweeted it at me. And it's like his tactical awareness, his tackling, and all of that, right? And it's 30 seconds, and it's just. And I'm like, dude, I can make a highlight video. 30 seconds of me being better than him. But, like, the good things that he does, and you make a highlight video, sure, all of a sudden he looks like a world beater. But I was like, we can watch the last game that Arsenal played, the entire game, and I'll point out every time he's either out of position, he's, like, doing some stupid tackle. Like, he did so many bad tackles that he should have been sent off for.
Yep.
Or, yeah. Like, dude, we can sit there for 90 minutes, and I'll show you the good ones that he does and the bad things that he does, and I guarantee you the bad things far outweigh the good.
But I think what's interesting...
That's our super quality guy.
I think what's interesting, too, is they don't buy players because they're not first-team quality, but they also don't have depth, and then everyone gets injured. And they didn't buy any backups.
Oh, yeah, Danny Welbeck is in hell now.
Like, Andre Ayew left Marseille for free.
For free!
Gomez left Marseille for free.
They were both free.
And we literally... Us and Manchester United didn't even bat an eye.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is...
free, and Gomez has 4 in 4 games.
They may not be first-team quality at Arsenal, but when it's December... When it's December and players are hurt, they're going to need a guy like that.
Same with Victor Wanyama.
By March, we're
going to
be playing youth players.
Chuba Akpom, the savior's
real. And Gedeon's coming back in January, so.
Hey, don't hate on Chuba, okay?
Is Chuba on loan?
Yeah.
I like Chuba.
Plus, his name is Chuba.
Yeah, you can't beat that one.
Chuba,
he sounds like a Pokemon.
Yeah. Pikachu.
I wonder what his moveset would be.
Dude, probably something like dig or something.
Dig. Just dig.
Quick like, attack.
Dig.
Looks like one of those like normal Pokemons who have like just ground attacks randomly. You're in Pokemon Stadium and Clefairy just dig and just screws you over.
Jigglypuff has Earthquake for no reason.
Like, this isn't what I signed up for. Dude, when I saw Clefairy use Metronome and used Fly, and I was so confused. I was like, this fat piece of crap is not in the air right now. Sorry, I got like really bad Pokemon Stadium memories.
Oh, I do too. I remember the second game's story mode. It was just a bitch to deal with.
But yeah, that's what Akpom sounds like. He sounds like a Pokemon Stadium 2 Pokemon.
He's probably that Umbreon that like just never dies no matter how many times you hit it. So what's next after Arsenal? Chelsea? Talking about how they're bad?
How they got a defender and he's not even in their Champions League spot.
Pappy
Dude, who did they get?
Pappy.
Who are those Pappy. People? They sound like the regenerated players from Football Manager. Like,
I'm the generic like, club of PES.
Yeah, like I'm all for black excellence, but I have no idea who those players are. Really just if these players turn out to be good, then Chelsea has the best scouts of all time.
He's already 26, which is interesting. It's not like they bought a kid to go to Vitesse for 5 years and maybe come back.
He was in the second division for for the last 6 years, and last year he was third in the French league in clearances.
There we go. How much did Chelsea pay for?
He was in League Two, or he was in the second division in France, and him and Giroud for a long time too. So you never know. He could be.
He was a good buy for Arsenal. I mean, yeah, Koscielny is actually one of the better.
Parmalen now at Barcelona.
Scoring volleys.
Dude, not even just scoring volleys. I've watched him like the past two games, and he's the most solid defender that they have. He's so composed. And he's strong in the tackle. He's composed. He clears the ball when like the other defenders refuse to clear. And I'm like, who are you? And where did you come from? Where have you been for the past 5 years? Did you just leave Arsenal? Like, thank God, now I can play.
You saw Chesney save against Juventus, right?
Yeah.
Chesney's been awesome for two games.
It's like one of those things when like relationships where all of a sudden everybody that you break up with is just doing so much better. You have to like, am I the problem? Is it me?
Arsenal are the good luck charm.
Yeah, Arsenal breaks up with their friends, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, did you lose 35 pounds?
Yeah, all of a sudden you go on her Instagram, it's like, you're new me. She's like 15 pounds lighter. She's traveling around the world. But like, her smile looks more genuine now.
Like, she looks happy.
Exactly, and then you just feel mad. Like, where was this at when we were together? Like, Gervinho scoring for Roma, and I'm just... Like, Gervinho is one of Roma's best players now. And I'm really sitting here, like...
And he's got his own private island.
Yeah. Like, you were on Arsenal, and none of this is apparent. Like, you didn't play half as good as you're playing now. And which is weird, because when he was in Lille, he was really good. Like, what was it?
Really good.
They were like, well, who's better between, like, Hazard and...
And Gervinho.
And everybody was like, Gervinho is the better player. He comes to Arsenal, and he's literally like, he can't even control a ball. And then he goes to Roma, and he's just balling out. He's finished. He's doing like one-touch finishes with the outside of his right foot. And I'm just punching my TV at that point because it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me?
So who's to blame for Chelsea?
I don't know, like...
Mourinho.
It's karma for what Mourinho did to the doctor?
Yeah.
Karma for Ava. This entire season is just going to be based on that. Like, what he did to the doctor.
I mean, do we think Ivanovic and Terry are actually this washed all of a sudden?
Yeah. Terry might be.
No, I honestly think it's a combination. It's like, because last season, he barely rotated his first 11. And I mean... Obviously, Ivanovic and Terry are older, but it's like this season their like match is looking terrible. Ivanovic can't play right back anymore.
He can't do anything right.
Well, and then they had a late start to camp too.
Yeah,
they didn't start till the end of July.
Dude, but like so what I usually say is that, or what we talked about is that. If your midfield plays bad, your defense is going to look horrible, regardless of who's there.
Sask looks terrible.
Yeah, Matic is having a terrible year. Like, he had not just terrible, it's like really, really bad. Like, the last game where he almost got sent off, when he was subbed out, the penalty that he gave away was literally a tackle that Matic makes 9 times out of 10 any other year.
He looks lost.
Yeah, he looks like he doesn't even know how to play the game anymore. And Fabregas is a ghost. He's a literal ghost. He's not good at tackling. He's not tactically aware. And now he's not even creating chances. So all that risk that you're taking...
What does he do? Then?
Yeah, he's a body. He's not even a body, because basically you're playing 10 against 11.
He's so lost out there when they don't have the ball.
Yeah, and Gary Cahill is dumb. Let's just put that out there.
Cahill hasn't been any good in 2 years.
So, the funny thing about, like, Ivanovic is when you watch a bunch of the times that he messes up, and teams, teams love doing this to him, is that they'll get him on a 2-on-1 situation. And Ivanovic, when any defender that you get in the 2-on-1 situation...
It's going to look bad.
Because all they have is, like, a guy overlapping, and he's defending a winger. the fullback overlaps, and then Ivanovic is just standing there like, okay, they'll send the fullback over. So he runs over to the fullback, and they'll just pass it back to the winger, and now the winger's wide open. And so he's like, most of the game, he's running around like a headless chicken. He has no idea who he's supposed to be defending anymore. And
Gary Cahill's just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Getting his nose broken.
Matic can't come to cover him because Matic is like, it's like somebody hit him with a confused ray. So he has.
he already asked to cover Sask.
And Sask is, he's a Magic Carp of midfielders now. he is so bad now. Like, I love him to death. He's one of my favorite players ever. But if you can't defend or even track back, you don't even have to defend well. Just be one of the bodies that keeps the attackers in front of you. But they just run right past him. Like, they run right past him. They don't even try anymore. It's just like, hey, Fabregas is here. Hey, how are you doing? We're just going to head towards your 18. And, I mean, what do you – and Hazard just came out and literally said, I'll never be like Messi or Ronaldo because I scored one goal and I'm like, that's enough. Like, that was his actual quote that he said when he scores, he just thinks that's enough and he doesn't really feel like chasing it. So, I mean, they're in shambles and I'm really enjoying it because I think Zuma's going to kill somebody. So I'm really looking forward to it because I think Kurt Zuma is going to kill a person.
Kurt Happy Zuma is going to go up.
Kurt Happy Zuma.
There's no way he doesn't kill anybody this season. Like, you watch his tackles, and it's like, have you played this game before? Like, do you know how to defend? He's just fast. He's just really fast and strong. But, yeah, I like seeing Chelsea go to hell. It's pretty welcome.
I love how, like, their big signing or move was getting Falcao on loan.
Dude, I've never
seen him. Hey, man, he scored against Palace.
He's so washed.
Yeah. He can move. He is, though.
He's been cycle washed.
And it breaks my heart.
Like, could you imagine a couple of years ago, it was literally the three best strikers, or three of the best strikers were Falcao, Cavani, Lewandowski. Now the only good one, or Cavani's still pretty good, but it's just Lewandowski's out there by himself, and then now it's Aguero and like Suarez. But Falcao went from being one of the best, like top two, to I shaved my head because I need the new year, new me. Like, I'm scoring against Palace, and I'm celebrating like it's the end of the world because this might be my last goal for a few months. That's who he is now. He's worse than Loic Remy.
Oh, man. Yep. This is like where it's gone for him, man. He went to Monaco, ripped up his knee, and this is what happens.
Yeah, it's pretty sad that it's the knee thing. That, I think that's the sad part about it. Is that it was? It's not something that he did. He tore his ACL, and it's so hard. Like, he's healed physically, but you can see it when he plays that he's not confident at all. No. Like, his first touch is going 10 yards
he's
back.
Like Torres.
He's like Rooney and Torres now. And like, it's sad to see because it's like if somebody loses their ability because they just suck, and it's like, okay, you just suck. You're Wayne Rooney. You can't play. You're fat. But if it's like Rooney didn't tear his ACL, Falcao did. It's sad watching him just go out there and try his hardest, and his body is just like, no, this isn't gonna work. At least he's not like.
And that was the big. Oh, I mean, Pedro was the biggest signing though.
Yeah, Pedro was really good though.
Pedro's world class after two games.
Dude, but that's what I keep saying. Goal? Just stand outside Barcelona and Real Madrid's door. You get a Pedro, you get an Ozil.
Like,
you'll get an Isco next year for how
yeah,
long?
Yeah, Isco's going to get sold.
Yeah, because they just signed Kovacic.
They signed Kovacic, yeah.
Yeah, from Inter. Oh, yeah. Either he's going or Isco's going next year, so just wait outside.
Oh, Kevin De Bruyne.
Oh, yeah. Best signing of the window this probably guy. For EPL teams. Yep.
Really could be. And I think he's going to be really motivated to stick it to Mourinho, too.
Which will be great. If he can score like he did today and, like, it's just over. Because, I mean, I know, Cole, you're like, he made Bastos and Bentner look pretty good. And it's like, now nah, you're going to be passing Bastos. It to, like,
hey,
Sergio Aguero.
No Bentner slander.
No Bentner
slander. No, but if he makes Bastos look good, you are a he's Merlin the Magician.
De Bruyne had, like, Bastos score 16 goals in, like, 6 weeks or something stupid.
Dude,
I'm
this
like,
guy, he goes to Wolfsburg the first year, and I think he had double-digit goals and double-digit assists, and everybody, and I'm like,
broke
okay.
Broke the Bundesliga record for last year.
Yeah, I mean, and then this year he has, like, or last year he has 16 goals and 27 assists. That's absurd.
Broke the league record.
Yeah. And he outplayed Hazard on... at the World Cup with against US. He was the better player of the two.
Yeah, he was the star that summer.
So
not Lukaku, not Hazard, De Bruyne.
Dude, but you know what's funny about that transfer though? His agent just revealed that Bayern were actually gonna Bayern were in talks to buy him, and the talks had progressed. Like they were doing like personal negotiations and Bayern just pulled out. Like they just let Manchester City have him. Like, okay, just this time.
Yeah, they know he's going to flop in City, and then they'll buy him in 2 years.
Yeah, they literally just said, look, it's like Bayern let you know that you're seconds.
Bayern probably was like, if we buy De Bruyne, then we're just going to ruin Goetz at all, and we're already going to sell him, so we need to give him some playing time.
Bayern played good, though. Like, Bayern the first two games, also, he was really good.
With how much crap people give Bayern for buying out the German league, they probably just were like, we'll let him go abroad first, then come.
Bayern for half price.
We won't be the bad guy here.
Dude, but they have, go to the last two games, or the first two games that they played, because he didn't play against, or he subbed on against Leverkusen.
Yeah.
But the first two games, if it wasn't for, like, the post and Thomas Müller just, like, skying shots all of a sudden, he has, like, three assists in those games. And then they play against Leverkusen, and it's like, okay, we have no, like, actual defenders in this game, so we're going to improvise. And I'm sorry, but you're going to have to be sacrificed. But they play with one center back, and that was, like, David Alaba. I was like,
who's not even really a center back.
Yeah, Pep was just wild and still wins 3-0.
He beats him 3-0. He beats
like a Champions League club. Just beats
that him. Won't happen now, Chicharito.
Chicharito, yeah.
Boateng was suspended, and Dante's just sitting right there, and Pep was like,
nah. I'd rather play Xabi Alonso than you.
He wanted like 100 or 1,000 Dantes, and then he sells them to Wolfsburg.
Yeah, like last year he literally said, I wish I had 1,000 Dantes.
Yeah.
This year he's like, I don't even want the one Dante I have.
I'd rather read the Inferno than have this Dante.
Yeah, life comes at you fast, like really fast. One day you're indispensable, the next day you're being sold to Wolfsburg.
Oh, man.
Or you're, you know... Draxler.
Hey, that was a really
Draxler's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one too.
My favorite part of the De Bruyne transfer was the 2 seconds that United thought they might like have a chance. They were like, hey, is Kevin available? And they're like, no, Kevin's not home.
Your phone is
out. Kevin's out with some friends. Can I take a message?
I'm outside your window. I see his car.
Kevin's not here. That's not his car.
Yeah, Kevin's not here. And then Kevin is just laughing in the background. Tell him I'm not here. he's away on business. I can hear him. No, that's not Kevin. That's his brother.
That was my favorite part of the Kevin De Bruyne saga.
Dude, what about Arsenal trying to bid for Benzema and like that actually being a thing? And then Real Madrid is just like, he's not leaving.
I don't even know if that was a thing. Like, I feel like
Rafa's like, he's scoring 25 goals. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, no, but, like, Arsenal actually inquired about him, and they were trying to see if he's available. And, like, Real Madrid is like, what are you talking about? No.
If this isn't how this works.
Go away.
Like, no, we actually want that.
Who let you in? Like,
when we don't want Pepe in a year from now, you can come. We'll invite you then.
Like, you don't, it's like, don't call us.
We'll call you.
Like, walking up to the hot girl in school, and she's like, who are you? Like, don't come to me. I'll come to you. Like, if I want to take you out, I'll ask you out.
If I need those notes from class, I'll ask you.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
Arsenal's probably the guy that's like, goodbye, Real Madrid, and they're like, oh, what's your name again?
I know you from somewhere. Yeah, we have every class together. Oh.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Oh, we literally live next door. Seriously, how long have you lived here? Like, if Real Madrid got Arsenal in the Champions League knockouts, it'll probably be the weirdest thing, because it's like, Real Madrid going against upstart Arsenal. Upstart Arsenal? Like, we've been here forever.
Oh. But, who else did United go? Oh, Gareth Bale.
Neymar.
Oh, yeah, the Neymar sign.
The fact that they thought they had a shot at Bale is just hilarious.
Dude, the fact that they actually still did for thought. Neymar is the, like, made me laugh so much. Because I was like, you think Neymar, first of all, Neymar's not going from Barcelona to Manchester United.
No.
But you think that Neymar is going to give up partying in Spain and flying out to Brazil every other weekend to go to Manchester United? To Manchester, where Carlos Tevez said, literally, that Manchester sucks, it rains all the time, and there's no restaurants.
They, like, maybe if they, for that bid, they could get, like, his Instagram account password. But that's
exactly.
It.
Like, the only way he's coming to Manchester United is if they let him live in London the entire time.
I mean, I don't even think Neymar would have picked United over Barcelona when he left Santos.
No, he wouldn't.
Like, he didn't even pick Real Madrid over Barcelona. Yeah, he's definitely not picking United over Barcelona.
And then they're just like, yeah, do you want to get rid of Gareth? No? Okay.
Yeah, no.
Like, even when they talk about Ronaldo's coming home.
Maybe we can do a swap
home,
deal. No.
Like, Ronaldo's coming home to United, and they flew the banner, and Ronaldo licked at it, he saw it, he was so disgusted by it. Why would I go back? Like, no.
United still haven't realized, like,
they're a new United.
Yeah, they can't buy from the bigger teams.
Like, bro, this isn't Ruud van Nistelrooy United. This is Wayne Rooney, captain, United.
Wayne Rooney, captain of England.
Your starting center back is still Chris Smalling.
Chris freaking
Dude, you have Ashley Young was your player of the year last year. I need to tell you about your new
job. I mean, hey.
Like, just somebody needs to put a hand on Manchester United's shoulder and just look him deep in the eye like Ashley Young. Antonio Valencia.
Johnny Evans. Although Johnny Evans doesn't work anymore.
Chris Smalling. Phil Jones.
But that's the good thing Van Hall's
Sergio
done.
Romero.
He's got rid of some of these guys.
Wayne Rooney. Just slow, and then just like, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Don't do this, man. It's not your fault.
It's a lot better than last year when they were still relying on washed RVP and washed Falcao.
Oh, and I love how they send Chicharito online.
And keep Wayne Rooney and buy Anthony Marshall for $50 million. If you keep RVP healthy for half a season, he gives you the same goal amount that Wayne Rooney is going to give you. Like, just put him on crutches and send him out there. And just send the ball straight to his left foot. He's going to connect. And he's gonna, like, he has probably one of the best left foots in the game.
That was the funny thing about Van Persie last year. He couldn't get into the box, but he still scored like 8 goals because he scored eight from or 10, outside the box.
Because he doesn't know how not to score. Like, he's so good with his left foot. Even like shots that should be going, sailing over, hit the crossbar and go in. It's just like, dude.
Yeah, he scored 10 goals.
If you have to, just drug him up, PEDs, everything, and just suffer the consequences the next year. Just dope this guy up so he could be healthy for 1 year. And just have him win you the EPL again. Because Manchester City just, like, loaded up every gun in the country. Dude, their bench could win the league itself.
Yeah, Wilfred Bony can't even get off their bench.
Wilfred Bony is on your bench. Like, Nazari is on your bench.
Jesus Navas is on their bench.
Navas isn't going to see the field anymore.
All those guys are probably starting for Arsenal.
They're just going to kind of gently see off Navas into that good night.
Like, do you understand this man is probably at home right now just weeping so hard? He's like... He has to wake up in cold sweats now. Like, after that Kevin De Bruyne, like, interview, Navas is probably punching holes in, like soft, gentle holes. Because he's probably,
as gentle in his eyes. As gentle in his blue eyes.
Like, he's so handsome, but, dude, like, it's over. It's, like, you might as well start the modeling thing now. Because your whole fake inside cut outside cross thing is not gonna work anymore.
He could go back to Sevilla.
He can still do that on FIFA though.
He can go back to Sevilla and link up with Llorente.
But why go back to Sevilla when you're making like $150,000 a week?
Yeah, but he could live in Sevilla instead of Manchester.
Dude, he could just take a vacation. They won't even notice he's gone. Dude, Navas could literally just fly to Sevilla tomorrow, and then they'll just put out the team sheet, and nobody will. The whole world will pretend that we don't notice that he's gone.
They just put his kit on one of the seats.
Exactly, just drape it over his seat. One of those dummies, like crash test dummies, and put his kit over them.
He needs to work out one of those Negredo deals though, where he gets loaned out but is still making the Manchester money. Yep.
Yeah, they still have to buy him for $30 million. Yeah.
Negredo is a Manchester. He's a Manchester City legend for one thing. When he destroyed Michael Dawson in front of everybody, on national television, he emasculated Michael Dawson, and now Michael Dawson plays. Who does he play? He's in exile somewhere.
He hasn't come back. Michael Dawson hasn't come back.
Dude, he checks for the ball with his back to goal, and Michael Dawson is coming to defend him. And he literally turns and nutmegs him in the same motion and then curls it to the top corner. And Michael Dawson is laid out on the ground. Like, he falls. He makes it. He nutmegs this man and makes him fall. And then, top corners the goal. And I watched it, and I was like, that can't be real. And then they kept replaying it. I was like, oh, my God. Like, they should have just – Michael Dawson should have just faked an injury and got stretchered off and then just never shown his face in public ever again.
And he's on the championship. Yeah, he's at Hull. He's in the championship.
He's at Hull. Yep. It makes me so mad talking about Negredo, though, how City can just sell off their garbage to the point where financial fair play doesn't matter, and they just pretty much gave him the league. Like, Valencia pretty much gave Manchester City the league when they gave him $35 million for Negredo.
And now he's washed.
Yeah, and now
he's just about washed.
I mean, at least Jovetic can sort of play. I guess Roma's part of the problem, too, with Dzeko.
Dude, Jovetic, or his problem, like, I knew he was gone the minute that they didn't include him in the Champions League squad.
Yep.
And I was like, this is the biggest disrespect I've ever seen. Like, okay. So disrespectful. They had like youth players in there.
Yep.
And I was like, he's not that bad. He's a really good player. Why are you doing this thing? Like, I was like, come home to Italy. They don't appreciate you over there.
And now he's got 3 goals in 2 matches.
Yeah, he scored all of their goals.
Well, that's what happens when you free somebody. He now knows what fresh air is like.
I mean, Adebayor,
out of the training room now.
Balotelli. 3 minutes into Milan's match, he scores a 35-yarder. And I was like, this is what happens when you're free.
When you get rid of Brendan.
You don't talk about that disrespect, though. Adebayor one day saying he needs a sign from God to leave Spurs, and then the next day they just leave him off the Champions League roster.
Adebayor has, like, way more problems to deal with than Champions League. With his mom trying to kill him. That man, every Instagram post or every Facebook post is literally, somebody save me from my family because they might really kill me.
They didn't even give him a kit number this year. Oh, God.
He's going to be Agent Zero.
Oh, poor Emmanuel. He goes from Jose Mourinho buying him at Real Madrid to...
Dude, he was so good at Arsenal, though. All he had to do was not be an asshole. He said,
first
year
at Spurs,
he was fine. Yeah, well, when Milan came to sign him, he said, you don't say no to Beyonce. And then Milan didn't want him anymore. And it's like, well, Beyonce doesn't want you now, so we don't want you either. So, and then he scores for Spurs and then celebrates in front of the Arsenal fans. And it's like, okay, you're a Spurs. And then now you're not playing for Spurs. And we don't want you anymore either.
I'll never forget one of the, like, three goals he scored for City when he did the knee slide in front of the Arsenal fans and they threw shit at him.
Yeah.
Oh, God. They couldn't have told him ahead of time, though, that, like, hey, we're not going to play you. Like, this is your sign from God.
Clean out your locker.
This is your sign. You need to leave.
His only hope is that they rescind the contract from mutual consent. Because at this point, he's not even a player anymore. He's just there. But, I mean, he's collecting a big check, so, you know.
Yeah,
that's why he wants to stay.
I'll hold on to that for, like, few more months. Bentleys don't buy themselves.
I would say life isn't too bad, but when your mom's trying to kill you.
Yeah, look, if he doesn't pay her, he might not be alive. But yeah, that sucks for him. He has such a good future ahead of him too.
Until he joins City.
Yeah.
And then Mourinho. That was the funniest buy Mourinho's made in quite some...
Dude, he did well at Real... Surprisingly, he was doing well at Real Madrid. And I was like, okay, he's reinvigorated. He's going to be good now. Nope.
Nope. how about Liverpool?
Who do they... Oh, Firmino.
Tacky. Gomez is... I like Joe Gomez.
I don't know. I think Liverpool will be, like, entertaining to watch. I don't think they'll be that good, though.
I mean, all car crashes are kind of entertaining.
Yep.
They're still managed by Brendan Rodgers.
Yep.
Who thinks character is all you need to win a game. Who played Raheem Sterling as a wingback?
Plays Emery.
And then plays Firmino as a winger.
Plays Emery everywhere but defensive midfielder.
I gotta give him credit for the Joe Gomez buy, though. That guy looks pretty good, even though he's playing left back and he's a center back and he can't really go forward.
Brendan's not perfect, Colt.
Far from perfect.
The entire time the Raheem Sterling thing was going on, I was like, he really wants to get away from Brendan Rodgers.
That was all that was, man.
They offered him a bigger contract now. He said nope. I really hate that man. I have to go.
For some reason, someone's edited Joe Gomez's Wikipedia
page to say
he has 69 goals for the U19.
Nice.
Dude, I think their best buy might actually be Benteke, though. Like, Benteke is a really good striker. He's
pretty good. I mean,
yeah, I think that's the only way to put it. He's a really good striker. He does all the striking things that you want.
As long as he's got a system that's built to kind of feed him, he'll finish your chances. Yeah. And
dude, like, when they played us, he's like pushing our defenders aside, and he's putting us. And I was like, we might lose this from a Benteke header, but that's okay, because Black Excellence and all of that. But he's like tossing our defenders aside, and I don't appreciate it.
Poor Callum Chambers.
Callum Chambers. Yo,
Callum Chambers is garbage, and I'm so bad. He's a muffin.
Third most expensive Arsenal signing.
God, he's just really pretty, though. Like, I hate when the pretty ones aren't good.
His hair is tremendous.
Dude, like, I watch him walk onto the field, and it's just like, okay, look. All right, play him. He's really good looking, and I like watching really good looking people do things.
I mean, usually the good looking players are pretty good.
Yeah, but then he starts getting destroyed, and it hurts me because it's hurting the team, and it hurts me to see him sad like that. So it's like double hurt. It's like, okay, take him out, because now it's like watching a little puppy get kicked around.
You just want to coddle him a little bit. Yeah, it's not gonna be too bad, Callum. Life's hard sometimes, Callum.
Football's hard. Maybe it's not your thing. Like, somebody like Gabriel, if he's getting pushed around, I'm like, okay, he's ugly as hell. I don't really care for him.
He looks like he would just, like, kick your ass off.
Yeah, he looks like he's on, like, he looks like he's running away from a murder he's committed every time I see him. Like, if I see Gabriel anywhere near a murder scene, I'm telling the cops it was him, even if I wasn't there. If you see anything, well, look at that guy right there. Doesn't he look like a murderer? Like, just look at him. He looks like he committed a crime all the time.
Yeah, I mean, because Shelby looks like a hen.
Yeah, he does.
Like, look at that juxtaposition, though. Callum Chambers and Gabriel standing next to each other.
Yep.
It's like bringing your ugly friend to the club because you need to look better. Yeah, this is my friend Gabriel.
Gabriel's single.
I guess he can talk to my friends. Like, Callum Chambers has to be Gabriel's wingman because otherwise nobody's going to talk to him.
Even with his football money, is Gabriel the exception?
Dude, money doesn't make, like, money makes a huge difference depending on where you're at. But I don't think if you're that ugly, after a while, the money wears off. Like, if you're that ugly, women are with you, they have other guys on the side because you're that ugly.
They're right.
And the only thing that you're worth is your money. So it's like, if I'm dating somebody who's that ugly, I'm probably talking to two other people.
No. He's got the money, and he's got the Spanish.
Yeah, you have Spanish. To talk to somebody for the looks. Dude, love doesn't stop somebody from being ugly. I'm sorry. Like, you could be in love as much as you want, but if you wake up and Gabriel's staring at you right there.
You wake up, you turn over in bed, and Gabriel's there.
And it's like, oh my God! I thought I was dying, but I forgot we're here.
When he was playing in Brazil, I remember he was trying to rock a mohawk, and it was the most awkward looking thing.
It's like putting a mohawk in a street shark.
It's like Diego Costa trying to do that, like, young person haircut right now.
Yeah, no. Dude, you look like you're a 48-year-old divorced father. why are you trying to be young? Like, 26, you're 26 is in air quotes.
I've always thought he's like 30.
He's fake Nigerian prince. Like, dude, we know you're not.
And he's been rocking that random, like, messy haircut, and then all of a sudden he just shows up from the summer. He's just trying to rock the, I don't know, he's like, it's almost like a fake Giroux.
Yeah, dude, he's like one of those undercover cops. Hey, dudes, how are you guys doing?
Get out of here with that haircut.
Like, dude, we know you're a narc.
I love hanging out with the youth of America.
Exactly.
The funny thing too is Diego Costa, of course, is the guy who jumped on that train like 3 years after people started doing it. He's like, you know, I probably should do something with my hair.
Dude, I just, like, matched with the same girl on Tinder that I just unmatched with. Oh, sorry. Anyways, yeah. Dean Foster is, like, terrible.
No.
I like his whole, like, I'm the one that's really being fouled thing that he does. He'll elbow somebody. He'll elbow a defender. Then the defender trips him. And then he looks at the ref like, why aren't you guarding him? And I'm like, you should be, like, you should have had a 3-match ban by now, and it's only 18 minutes in the game.
Was it Mignolet that he hip-checked, and then 3 seconds later he dove and was plenty?
Dude, the person who's gotten him really well is David Luiz, who I love him with all of my heart.
I love David, too.
He's an angel. He might be the only real angel that we have on Earth. But
dude, he's so damn genuine.
Yeah. He's so cute. Like he's so like naive and pure. And you just want to hold him like, dude, you still think the world is a great place. We're gonna have to lock you in a box because the world sucks and I don't want you to have to experience it.
He's still doing abstinence till marriage in 2015. Like that's who David Luiz is.
But the BBC was calling him out on it. The poor guy.
Dude, when PSG played Chelsea last season, you know, when they knocked him out the Champions League, Diego Costa was trying to do his whole, like, being an asshole thing on David Luiz. But David Luiz has been doing that for years. it was like watching the Bane versus Batman fight. That's David Luiz, and David Luiz fell and clutched his face. And then the run crashed to Diego Costa, and Diego Costa was so confused. Like, this is what it feels like. And then, like, him and David Luiz are, like, you know, they're kind of, like, tussling with each other. And Diego Costa, like, elbows him in the stomach a little bit. And David Luiz literally just elbows him in the head. And the ref's not looking. And I was laughing so hard. I was like, I've never seen karma work better than that. Where Diego Costa is, like, literally hurt. He's really actually hurt this time. And the ref's just looking at him like, I didn't see it.
Play on.
Exactly, play on. I'm like, this is what you get. This is what people like you deserve.
Poetic.
Oh, God, it was wonderful. I hate that guy. he's not like Mandzukic, who you know is crazy. Mandzukic, like, if he's antagonizing you, it's because he doesn't know he's antagonizing you. He just doesn't have a brain. He's crazy.
That's my opinion.
Bro, he fought with Pep and he fought with Cholo.
Like, Suarez is literally insane. Like,
yeah, Suarez doesn't think biting people is bad.
Well, I mean, you look at Suarez, he gets this, like, werewolf look in his eye before he bites people, and like you're like, he's about to bite a dude. Just watch.
Dude,
just watch.
A guy in the middle of a game. Like, do you know how insane that is? That he's playing in a soccer game. He jumps to the back of the neck, or who did he buck? He bit Chiellini in the hand, and when he was in Ajax, he bit the dude in the neck.
Yeah.
He bit up Abramovich in his arm and Chiellini in the shoulder.
It's like when you're so frustrated, you know, like when you're angry at somebody and you're so frustrated and you don't know what to do, so you do something just so irrational, like you kick the wall and you break your foot. And you're just like, why did I just hurt myself? I meant to hurt you. His is, I don't know how to react, so I'm going to bite you.
The best was when he bit Chiellini. And he wasn't like he was trying not to act like he bit him. He just started holding his teeth like something was wrong with
like
his
that
teeth.
Was his idea. Of
he ran into my mouth.
He told the media that Chiellini put his shoulder in his mouth. Like he literally tried to say a story that the defender put his shoulder in his mouth to try to get him sent off. And I was sitting there like, dude, we were watching the game.
Everyone on Earth was watching the game.
Like, you're talking like we don't have video evidence, like actual real life. Dude, we are in 2014 at the time. We have technology that we could go to the film room right now. This is you jumping. You see how your feet are off the ground? Your arms are up for more elevation. I mean, your form is perfect.
If I ever wanted to bite someone, that's how I would want to look.
Exactly. Like, if we were teaching biting, I would take your form and teach it in schools. Like, this, it will be in the anatomy books.
I mean,
but you bit a guy, and you told the world that the guy wanted you to bite him, or forced you to bite him. It's like being an alcoholic. I'm not addicted to the beer. The beer is addicted to me.
And the thing is, he doesn't have to bite someone. Luis looks possessed all the time. Like, when he's just playing, he looks like someone's taking over his body.
Dude, and then funniest thing for him is still him admitting in court that he racially abused Patrice Evra. And then, have you guys ever read that, the whole paper about it? Like,
I haven't read the court case, no.
No.
Well, it's hilarious. I'm going to just keep it short because I probably have to go in a minute. But it was, he started off denying it completely, right? Just saying, mm-hmm. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Yep.
And then the mouth readers came and the video came where they could see him yelling at Patrice Evra. And then he was like, well, I said something, but I didn't say that. And then it progressively got to, okay, I called him that, but it was in my language, is in an endearing way.
Right.
Like, so you're yelling at him angrily. You guys are in a spat. And he's like, well, he called me names first. So I called him. And I was like, okay, so you're admitting that you're racially abusing him. You're just saying it's justified because you were angry at him for calling you names. And he's like, yeah, kind of. And then after the court case, it's like, I didn't racially abuse him. This is a witch hunt. And I'm looking at the papers like, wait a minute.
You done that up.
These are your words. Like, you said you racially abused him, but you were just angry. And the next day, you're literally saying, the media is against me. This is a witch hunt. I did nothing wrong. And like, I was so confused. It's like somebody, you're walking outside and it's hot outside, and somebody was like, wow, can't believe winter's this cold. And you're thinking you're the problem there. Like, am I the reason? Why does everybody think it's winter? It's clearly sunny outside. Like,
it reminds me of that tweet that was like about the Confederate flag, how they went from it's not racist to like, actually we're Nazis. Like, yeah, this is, this is not racist.
To 100 so quick. Dude, this is about our history. Yeah, Nazi memorabilia everywhere. Like, so, what's the argument here? Oh, we are really just Nazis. What's
we just want our Nazi flag with us.
We just really hate people. Like, if you just came out and said, look, you want the Confederate flag because we really
don't racist.
People
we're
like racist. That. And I would have been like, I disagree with you. I hate that I hate that you hate black people. I hate that you're a racist.
But it's a free country.
I have to appreciate that you're forward with this. But to be sitting there like, dude, it's about our history. What's the history? We want to own slaves. Oh, so it's racist. No, we just want to own slaves. I don't get it. Maybe I'm in the twilight zone here. I didn't know there was a big difference between racism and that wanting to go back to the times where people owned slaves. Like,
no, you can have one without the other.
Yeah, and it's like, Luis, I don't understand how you said something racist.
A minute you said something racist, it's a witch hunt.
Yeah, like, in one hand you're saying you didn't racially abuse him, but here in court you admitted that you said racist. Okay, I don't get it. maybe the language is off. Maybe we need a translator here. Can you tell this man what racially abusing somebody is?
It's like,
or can you please tell him that biting people, first of all, that biting people in the middle of soccer games is not okay?
I mean, maybe he needs an exorcism.
Dude, I kept saying
he's also the same guy who decided to randomly become good at soccer to chase a girl who moved away from Uruguay to Spain.
I'm telling you guys this. Like, imagine the hard work you have to put in to become a professional soccer player. Imagine, like, that girl must have been
Right.
Like Helen of Troy. Because that's the only way I'm devoting my whole life to a woman.
Chasing her down.
Set my own family up for this woman. Like, somebody would just tell me, like, look, if you want to be with Kara, you have to get your mom arrested. And, like, halfway through the phone conversation, I'm already calling the cops because I've already planted drugs in my mom's car. Like, Mom, I love you, but, you know, you've lived your life. You're, like, 60-something now. The median or, like, the lifespan of somebody.
We can work a compromise here. We can
work a lifespan of a woman in the United States is, like, 70-something. I mean, how many years do you have left? Plus, you're a first-time offender. Come on. Let me have this. My mom would understand, though.
She's a giving lady.
Yeah. She always told me to go after what I want.
She didn't think you'd take it that literally, but...
You only live once, right?
Yeah, YOLO.
YOLO. Set your parents up.
The lessons for the kids.
For the kids listening, yeah. For sure, man. We're all about the kids.
For any kid that's listening, if a girl tells you to set your parents up, always do it. Because your parents are old.
Alright. You gotta go, though?
Yeah, my friend is like sitting at a restaurant by himself for the last 30 minutes.
Well, thank you for your time.
Zeno, thank you so much, man.
Anytime, man. Oh, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Anytime Tuesdays and Thursdays. We got it. We got you.
Really appreciate it, man.
All right. It was fun.
Yeah. All
right. Bye.
Later. Later. Take care.